That's right, Pitches. It's another episode of Cubs Out Loud Drag Race. In this lap around the track, Gary and Damon share their thoughts on this bitch-perfect show. Get your team spirit on as the queens lip-sync their way through another challenge. But this show ends with a couple of twists you weren't expecting. Listen in as the guys spill the tea as COL Drag Race Season 8, Episode 2 starts now.
RuPaul Drag Race.
Well, hello there. It is March 7th, 2016. Sorry, 7th. It's St. Patrick's Day, bitches. And I haven't even begun drinking yet.
Oh.
Let's try that again. It's March 17th, 2016. Welcome to Comes Out Loud Drag Race Tea Time, Season 8, Episode Number 2.
Mm-hmm.
And as always, I am Gary, and with me is my ever fabulous co-host.
Hello, everybody. It's Damon. Happy St. Paddy's Day.
Happy St. Paddy's Day. And I didn't even put any whiskey in here. That's my bad.
Ooh, shame. Well, I'm drinking bourbon, so.
No, I went with vodka. So.
Bourbon, vodka, drink.
Ain't that the truth? That reminds me. Remind me about drink, drunk later in the show.
Okay.
Let's get started with our first impressions if we want to.
Sure.
All right. Civility? Question mark.
Ooh.
This season of all the seasons seems to be the nicest.
Huh.
Like everyone's getting along for the most part. They're
kind of
pretty. Yeah. I mean, well, there's one very specific person who I'm sure we're going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
That is not coming across as nice.
Nice.
But. Everyone else is being cordial towards each other for the most part. And Cynthia Lee Fontaine apparently is becoming the mother drag queen of the bunch.
Uh-huh.
As referenced, we'll get to it later, in the Untucked episode, there's a reference to her helping people and making sure that they have whatever it is that they
need. Yeah. So. Yeah. I get that. They're a little bit – there's this – that no one's coming for wigs yet. No one's cutting kind of yet. I mean, they're not, there's little bitty jabs here and there, but mostly everyone's kind of, oh, okay. You know, oh, sisterhood, we love each other. Yeah, got it.
Yeah.
So far, we'll see. Yeah.
Well, that's why I put question mark. Cause I'm thinking it's only the second episode of the new season. And you know, we've got 11 queens and they're all, for the most part, liking each other and learning about each other. So I don't think we've developed that new roomie situation yet where they're kind of like, you know, like I've been around you for weeks or months and you're on my last nerve. So
my ever-loving nerve. Yeah. Yeah. I guess I can get that. So for me, Layla actually put it best when she was at the start of the episode was you're no longer a big fish in a small pond, you know, as it were. This has now become, the show in and of itself has become a, not necessarily, I wouldn't say a career starter or career, you know, completion for people. I feel that it's become this big, big thing. You get on the show, you can pretty much go anywhere, especially in the drag community. Now, everywhere else too, but mostly in the drag community. And, but you're not who you were. In a sense that, like, Layla was talking about how, you know, she's in, I forget where she's from, wherever she's from. I don't care.
Massachusetts. Maine.
Oh, yeah. That's right. You know, like, she's, like, you know, pretty big shit there. Yeah. You're pretty big shit there in Massachusetts. This is pretty much a national competition, quote unquote. So, you know, you're not going to be, You're not going to be alone. You're not going to be this, you know, hey, look at me. I'm Layla McQueen or whatever her fucking name is. And I can do all this shit. Da 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 da. No. You're Layla. And like, I'm kind of forgetting your last name now. Might be saying something to you. Yeah, that's one of my bigger impressions for this show is like there will always be queens who will shine. We know that. But there will also be, but just because you're going to shine and they're going to be shining brighter doesn't mean you can't shine along with them. Once again, you were picked for the show out of who knows how many queens for the season. You've got to take that into consideration when you get on the show and step it up. Step it up big time.
I would agree.
Yeah. That was my big kind of, I know it's a little bit longer than a first impression, but that was my big kind of, the one thing I keep remembering about this show that always, someone always mentions that to me. And I always feel that that's important. You know, you're on the show for a reason. So.
Right. And I think that happens every season. We end up usually with three strata. Like we have the top finalists, like the usually top 3 to 5. Mm-hmm. And then we have the middle of the pack. And then we have the bottom. And the first couple of weeks are always about the bottom. And I can understand why when you go in the first 3 episodes or 4 episodes, you're upset because you don't feel like you've made an impression the way you wanted to, or you've done the things that you were looking for. It's the way the cards are dealt. So it's unfortunate. And rarely is a lower level, like first grouping of queens eliminated, or do they make it that big of a splash that we remember them years to come?
Yeah. Yeah. Like I couldn't tell you the first queen that was kicked off in several of the seasons. I know, except in the first and I think the second, because we kind of knew who the second. The first season, we know who it was. I knew who it was because she was a local-ish queen to me. The second season, it was Shangela. And then the third season, you know, I kind of remember, but then memory starts to get a little fuzzy after a while.
Right.
So, yeah. But, you know. So, impact is important.
Yeah, no, I agree. You ready for our next segment?
Sure thing. Ooh.
So thoughts on the episode? I wrote lip syncing as a challenge? ? I'm all about the punctuation today. Apparently,
yeah.
Is this the? No, I don't think it is. Or is it the first time in 8 seasons that the main challenge was completely a lip sync?
I don't know. I'm trying to think.
Didn't they in season 6, wasn't the telenovela a lip sync? Or was it spoken?
No. That was spoken.
Okay.
It was all acting. I don't think it is. I have a feeling it's not. But I understand what you're going for. What you're saying. It seems kind of lackluster. You know, like you're gonna lip sync all these songs and da 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 da.
Yeah, like so the interesting thing to me about this show is that like we start off with the mini challenge and that was the Cha Cha Bitch. Where yeah. they had to do a quick drag and then they danced good and bad.
Yeah.
And that's how we determined our team captains. They get split into teams. So we understand what the mini challenge is. No one had an upper hand advantage as a team, just, quote unquote.
Just a quick note. The Cha Cha Bitch, AB Soto. Damn. He was hot.
You like the little Latin boy
I did.
In cowboy drag?
I was like, who is this? And why have I not seen you before? Like,
oh.
And anyway, but yeah, it was a cute little he's a cute little guy and it was a cute little song. I wasn't really getting a lot of the lyrics, but you know, whatever. I was too busy watching the dancing and lack of dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Kimchi.
Yeah. So the little rhinestone cowboy. It was cute, but I was kind of like, this was obviously a plug.
Yeah.
So, no, the reason I focus on that it was a lip sync challenge is because it wasn't just lip syncing. The name of the episode is Bitch Perfect. It's a riff made fun of the movies Pitch Perfect, of which there's been 2, and I think there's a third one slated now.
Yeah, or maybe, I don't know.
So the whole concept is it's about a cappella groups that compete head to head. And in this case, it's two drag queen factions or groups from two rival schools, quote unquote, that are both a cappella groups. And so they do this, you know, that's the main challenge, the big performance. I was so impressed. They took a lot of airtime to show the whole production number, at least most of it.
Yeah.
And so I got better that this time of all the times, it was about a bunch of things. Like you had to know not only your choreography, but you had to lip sync. You had to have a look. You had to have a character that you carried through. I mean, it was really something beyond what I had really seen before. So I understood better the stress in the confessionals when, you know, some of the contestants are saying how hard it was to, you know, put my focus here and then on here and I got to do this move and this other thing. Because I was really impressed with what the main challenge was, but it did throw me a little sideways because I was like, it was basically a big lip sync.
Well, it kind of reminds me, last season's, what was the airlines called?
Right.
The Pan, no, Draga, something anyway. Glamazon. Right, Glamazon Airways. Yeah.
Right, the safety flight or safety
demonstration kind of thing. It was very cute. I personally am a fan of like the Pitch Perfect movies, so I kind of liked that concept of it. And the performances were really well done. So that was sort of my like, it seemed odd for it to be the main challenge to be just this sort of thing. But I got that there was more than just you're lip syncing all these songs, da 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 da. You're also dancing. You're also have, like you said, you also have a character. You also have to, you know, get everything in. And you're dancing and doing everything as a group. It's not just you.
Well, and that's the thing that kind of threw me a little bit though, Damon, is that I like the challenge. I was disappointed in it though, in the performance. For the most part. And here's part of the reason why I watched the show twice. I also watched Untucked twice. So at least I kind of got that under my belt. But I don't think it was my feed that I was watching. They didn't seem to be on point with their lip sync. And that was really bugging the hell out of me because they're doing RuPaul songs. And I'm like, you're going to be on RuPaul's Drag Race. The show's about her. I mean, it isn't, but it is. And it's a vehicle for her name and her products and her CDs and her chocolate bars and her t-shirts. You know, I mean, you name it. And so I was kind of confused because I'm like, why do y'all not have every single one of her God Bless It songs memorized already before you even get on the damn show? Like, you should know all her songs like the back of your hand. So when Glamazon comes on, you're not looking like you're doing watermelon guppy face. It was just confusing me. I was really kind of dismayed by it.
I always have a theory, and this is one of the theories I think I have. I agree with you that they probably should have, you know, knows, especially RuPaul songs like backwards and forwards, you know, up and down, sideways, cut in half, you know, split in three way, you know. They should have all of that, you know, memorized by now. But I feel like they threw a whole bunch of stuff on top of it that made it more difficult. It wasn't just lip syncing RuPaul songs. It was, you know, all this other stuff. And there was no, as far as I could tell, I mean, yeah, you had the two different groups and they were kind of doing different things, but there was no real cohesion of the songs, you know, songs that would lead into other songs or songs from this particular CD kind of thing. They kind of jump back and forth between the CDs. But, you know, maybe I'm justifying it. Maybe I'm excusing it, you know. But I only watched the episode once this week. I saw some of it a couple of times because Jim was watching it. But for the most part, I thought they were on point, but maybe there were a few missteps here and there. But I think some of it had a lot of it had to do with the fact that there's all this shit going on.
Well, I will say this. Out of the two teams, one team I thought did way better than the other.
Mm-hmm.
They seemed to be more coordinated. They had a much better visual kind of aspect about them. So their performance, not only like choreography, but their look, their characterizations. So I think there was one team that rose above the other. The other one seemed very muddy to me, and it was kind of difficult to gauge what was happening or what was going on and that kind of stuff.
Teams were like lady bitches and shady bitches. There we go. Shady bitches.
Yeah.
Because they're from the street, apparently.
Yeah. And that was the group that I thought did a lot better job. There was just
you mean like, the Say Bitches ones?
Yeah, they just embodied their characterization, I think, a lot better than the prep school girls, who they all seem kind of nervous and confused. And I get that, like, you know, that they're up against, like, the streets, quote unquote. But at the same time, I'm kind of like, but this is called Bitch Perfect. Like, y'all should be bitches. I don't care that you're wearing a schoolgirl uniform. Like, you should be, you know, you should be channeling – you know, Mean Girls and Heathers, like you should really be kind of coming across as like just because I'm pretty and I'm blonde doesn't mean I'm not going to cut you, bitch.
Exactly. You know?
And that was kind of what was missing to me. It seems like they were very like lost within themselves. And I don't know if it was because they were concentrating so much on helping one or two of their own team members, you know, get up to the level that they needed to be or what. Because that group seemed much more cohesive off stage trying
than on stage
to work together as a group. The other group seemed much more like, by the way the show was edited and posted, it seemed they were much more at each other, but not like horribly. There was just you know, kind of swiping and sniping and crap, which maybe that goes with their personalities, because you know Rue did come over and say how many of you are shady bitches and they all raise their hands. So just overall the thoughts on the episode. I was intrigued by the concept of a lip sync challenge, and then the other thing that was a little odd to me was that we still had a runway look, but it was a prepared outfit type of thing. I believe it was like red carpet runway or whatever. So it was meant to be like you didn't have to. It wasn't a sewing challenge. It wasn't a crafting challenge. It was purely you know, take that shit out the box, shake it out, you know, steam it, whatever, throw it on and do your thing.
Movie premiere realness is what the challenge was.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't want to call it a throwaway. I thought it was interesting, but it was like it was almost like it was an afterthought in the episode because they spent so much time on the rehearsal and the preparation and then the performance. So visually, all of a sudden, it's kind of like, oh, and we have a runway, and I'm like, oh, all right.
Well, they have to do a runway, and they couldn't. I usually what I think of when I think of the when they do a challenge like this, where they're all kind of, I feel like the outfits are almost chosen or given to them. Mm-hmm. You know, I really felt that way with, you know, these like the Glamazonian Airways. You know, last season, those had to have been like because everyone looked the same.
Right, they had matching uniforms. They all have different body shapes, but they all had the same type of top and skirt and hat, and whatever, ascot. And
stuff. Yeah, yeah. So you know, so I feel like for this challenge, since there was no, you know, gown or outfit, they had to do something to give them a chance to shine as a runway on the runway. Right. They didn't build that runway for nothing. They have to use it somehow.
I know, girl. Everybody got to walk in and get their thing in.
No, but so I feel that I'll just go into my
What were your thoughts?
My thoughts on the episode. One of my biggest ones is one of the things I'm kind of noticing, and it's the second episode, but still, Acid Betty, and I wrote it ASS. ID Betty, because to me, I'm getting this. Thorgy has been very good and blunt about her feelings about Acid Betty, and that has personally helped me because I'm assuming they know each other, and I'm learning a little bit more through her about Acid, and Acid's the way Acid has been acting doesn't help her at all, you know. She was on the team where she was on the Shady Bitches team, and Chi Chi was the one who won the challenge. And so Chi Chi was team captain. And granted, maybe edited, but almost immediately, she was like trying to take over and trying to do this and trying to do that and, you know, getting all that. And I understand her reasons for it. I understand, like, yes, this is a that's because it's a teen challenge. I don't want to fail, so I want to succeed. So I'm going to make sure we succeed, kind of thing. Totally understand that. But you're not in charge. You're the one that did your weird little fucking ugly thing on the in the dance challenge and didn't win. So yeah, so you're not in charge. Take direction. If you don't like it, that's, you know, maybe express an opinion later, but keep moving forward. Or no offense, do your own shit and bring it up, you know, and think about it and do it. Like, be that's sometimes how teams work, is you sometimes some people have their own, you know, mental thing going and are thinking about things, and then they can bring it up. You were trying to take the reins from Chi-Chi, and I'm definitely not for that. And on top of that, you were just, there were all these weird little like side and snide comments here and there, just off and on throughout the episode. And I was just like, you know, no, no, ma'am, no, no. Yeah, just it's it's starting to bother me, and I want to know her story. I want to hear more, because as Dorji said, she doesn't perform in New York anymore. And I want to know, you know, because she was saying that, you know, some of the girls don't want to work with her anymore. I want to know what happened there. Like, I get that her personality is quite abrasive, but I feel like there's something else there.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think Acid Betty is this season's Bianca slash Sharon slash Fifi. Mm-hmm. Like, these strong-willed personality types that just on camera are popping off about left, right, and center. Like, whatever the issue mm-hmm. is. She said in pre-interviews before the season aired that she's a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
So she's living through to her characterization. I think that they're showing her that way. Yeah. I feel that there always has to be a villain. At least that's the way television production seems to work. Like, you've always got to have a person that is polarizing, whether you agree with them or disagree with them. So hence, I kind of call them the villain. Thorgy's been amazing about the inside of stuff. And then later in Untucked, Bob reveals some stuff, you know, about Acid and her personality. So the mm-hmm. three queens that are from New York City and that area, two out of the three have opinions about the third, who, you know, is Acid Betty that we're talking about. And
yeah,
I think she is the most determined, come hell or high water, to succeed.
Yeah,
she also right now is kind of striking me as the one that's the most prepared. So, yeah.
Although,
I'm not saying that she's going to win, but you can practice, you can diagnose, you can break down, you can figure stuff out. I mean, you know, she had that outfit for the runway, and she was being a complete CUNT about it, saying, you know, that this is a one of a kind, and it was made specifically for me, and you'll never see anything like it, you know. And I was like, yes, but that's a showpiece. Like, you want to show that off, and you knew there was going to be a time on the show to walk the runway in a very specific look. And she said that she plans on nailing it and slaying them every single time she gets a chance. So that's what I mean by I think her head is the most in the game, whether or not that will get her towards the end or, you know, I don't know yet, but,
I'm wondering about that, because she does seem prepared. And I would hope that, you know, my hope is that there's a turning point at somewhere for her. Cause right now, the bitch is definitely coming out, and she's not winning any favors with the other contestants. She may be doing okay with the judges so far, but she's definitely not winning any favors with the other contestants. And she's not winning a whole lot of favors with some of the for some of the audience, at least on my perspective. If she goes, I'd be like, oh, okay.
Well, I think My hope is, I agree with you, that there's a turning point, and maybe it comes after the halfway point. If she makes it to top five,
yeah,
then I could see where, like, Bianca was seen as a real ball buster, you know, and not really budging on a lot until we got towards the, like, top four. And then then Rue realized that there's this maternal side to Bianca, and that she does care about other people, but she don't take no shit. So I don't know if that's going to be quite the case with Acid Betty, but I'm wondering if that's a revelation that will come about later, is actually she's not a horrible person. She's just determined. And this is going to be an awful way to say it. Once the fallout has happened, you know, and the first half have gone away, then the people that you're left with, that you've spent all this time with, you're I think maybe less competitive. And I'm not saying that she's going to relax, but it's like you've proven yourself and I to you and you to me. You know what I mean? As contestant compatriot. So
got it.
That might kind of calm down some. Then again, I don't know. It might get worse. I mean, Bob had this revelation that she thinks Acid Betty's going to go out when she freaks out on a judge. So
yeah.
I was like, oh, they totally put that in for dramatic effect. Whether or not it's true, we don't know yet. But if that's what comes down the path, then...
Exactly. So, and on the other side of my little thoughts on the episode, I liked the team spirit, as it were. The Lady Bitches seemed like you were saying, they off stage, they seemed very composed and compassionate and all that stuff. And it was classic TV almost for me. And I actually even wrote something down about how this is going to be predictable. The team where everyone's button heads and da-da-da-da-da, like the Shady Bitches, is going to be the one that's going to really do well and you know, succeed in the challenge. And then the other team that seems like all this really nice and pretty and, you know, everything's all hunky-dory and, hey, let's all hold hands and sing Kumbaya and do this together and na-na-na-na, is going to be the one that kind of falls apart on stage. Granted, they had a real good reason to fall apart, given one or two of the people that were on the team's, you know, inabilities, which we'll get to a little bit later. But it showed me that it didn't happen that way. Granted, it wasn't judged as a team. Everyone was judged individually, which was kind of predictable, not really. You know, it's one of those things where sometimes when they do team challenges, they do judge them as a team. This time they haven't, they didn't. So I don't know. Anyway, it just, but I agree. I love the team spirit. And it's good to have it this early on, because later on down the line, you're going to be kind of going out for yourself, because it's, you know, the competition.
Right.
No, I agree with you. I think that there was definitely a camaraderie on the one team much more than the other. And they've all said since the very beginning, the majority of this cast of these contestants have said, we are now part of the, you know, the Drag Race family, and these are my sisters, and, you know, and I want to be supportive. So it's definitely a different tone than past seasons. And I don't know if it's something that was a part of the planning or the programming with this year, or if it's just purely the personalities, the way they came together. So,
Yeah.
We shall see. Are you ready for the next segment, sir?
I am.
All right. Got a little music to play.
Oh, do you?
Untucked. So
yeah,
I'm still pleased with the documentary-ish kind of style behind the scenes of what's going on. Bob seems to be turning into Oprah. keeps taking lead in the Untucked, and is like, all right, let's talk about who we think's in the top, who we think's in the bottom, and why. Like, just
yeah.
Is channeling a Barbara Walters, like, you know, Whoopi Goldberg, Meredith Vieira, you know, I'm leading the cast of The Chew or The Talk or The View or whatever the hell show you want to call this. So yeah, for Untucked, my comment was we had a thruple revelation.
Indeed.
And so I will say this, I'm very proud that as a topic point, this came up as a discussion. I don't know if it was done justice correctly, so I'm a little itchy about the way it was shown because I don't think the audience got educated very well.
Mm.
But presumably if Derek continues on for several more episodes, this might, you know, get revisited as a subject matter. So yeah. In the Untucked, Derek, I don't want to say lets it slip, but I don't think it was a plant as a conversation point either.
Mm-hmm.
Said about having two boyfriends. Now, what I'm surprised is when they edited it, they didn't do the record scratch. Like, wait a minute. Two boyfriends? But because immediately one of the queens, I don't remember which one, says, oh, like you're not serious or settled or something like that or whatever.
Yeah.
Presuming that Derek meant that Derek is seeing two separate guys. And then Derek corrected the record. It was like, no, there's three of us, me and two other people. And we are now, what I found interesting is that Derek chooses to call it a thruple and then later says something about calling it a I don't know what the word was. It was something about about it being three, but the word triad was never used. And I was really surprised by that because to me,
that's
the more conventional, common kind of reference. So apparently Derek has two boyfriends and they're all equal and they're all together and they all live together, share the same bedroom together. Like, I mean, there was a little bit of opening up and revelation about that. You know, Acid Betty got a little bitchy and was accusing Derek that one of the boyfriends is not a model, who is Nebraska, which was Alaska's, you know, compatriot in that season to be made over. Like, I don't know. There was just something about that. And I was kind of like part of me, if I'd been there, I would have said, oh, knock it off.
Yeah.
To Acid Betty, because I thought she was being a bit dramatic, like her reaction, the way she was talking. It was kind of like, oh, you're shit stern. I don't know what that's about. Yeah. Like, because even Derek's face, if it's aligned correctly in the editing of the show, and I'm not trying to always say edit, you know, to blame the producers, but you know, if WoW Presents literally put it together in real time and you go back to the camera angle of Derek's face right after Acid Betty had said what she said and Derek explained herself and Acid didn't agree with her, Derek's face was kind of like, what the hell, bitch? You know, like she just kind of had this look like, I just authentically real with you. Like, I'm being honest. I don't know what your issue is. Like, so I was kind of like, that's interesting. You know, that
it was. It's interesting that they bring it up. And I love that they talk about it. I don't know how long they talk about it, but I'm glad that they talk about it because some people don't realize that these kind of relationships are out there. Mm-hmm. You know, even gay people don't realize that there are relationships out there that are not the conventional, you know. And the other, one of the other things she mentions, I think the word you were looking for was the threnogamous that she said or something like that.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Where they pretty much, they only, you know, are only together with each other and that's it. You know, it's just the three of them.
Right.
So I get that and I respect that. So more power to Derek. If that's the relationship you choose to go with, then, you know, kudos to that, you know, and your boyfriends were kind of cute too, you know, hey, and they're supportive and they seem to, you know, cause they're the pictures of her, you know, both of them and she's in drag and they're all both there. And, you know, it's cute. And, you know, if it works for you, both of you, great. Or not both of you, all of you.
Right. I agree. I appreciated that they had two pictures of the three of them together. One is just, you know, three boys. And then one is Derek done in drag with the two other partners in tuxes, presumably for like a promo shoot of some sort. So it kind of made me wonder if like they sometime are backup dancers for her or you know, whatever that is. But it made sense to me because I'm like, well, that's what Derek does as a job. Derek performs as Britney 6 days a week in Vegas from what we've been told. So you know, I would hope that your partners are supportive of whatever your occupation is. So, you know, to be a part of the photo thing didn't really seem all that, you know, stand out to me in the case. But that was the one thing from Untucked that really kind of shined for me was that there was this opening up of the conversation, you know, that kind of thing. And I was like, oh, well, that's something.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
What about you, Damon? What was your thing about?
For me, one of the big things that showed in the Untucked episode was the basically it's a competition. You can either hurt or hinder. And there are two examples of it in this specific episode. They're back. Everyone's back in, you know, in a room, and Dax, exclamation point. You know, one of the things that the judges critiqued her on was her padding, and that they felt that she had a lumpy butt. And she asked the girls, like, is my ass lumpy? And they said, girl, yes, your ass is lumpy. And she didn't, like, I guess in the confessional kind of part of it, she was kind of like, you know, why didn't anyone say anything? Why didn't, you know, because they obviously would have seen it, you know, blah, 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 blah. The hurting part, you know, hindering someone, that could, you know, that's the hindrance. Like, your competition, is it a big thing? Yeah, maybe, kind of, you know, maybe they thought, you know, that's the way she wants to be, and maybe, you know, but Thorgy did say that she did mention it offhand to her, you know, that, you know, maybe, are you sure that's how you want to go out? You know, that's really all, I mean, that's not all you can do. You just actually walk up to some bitch and be like, your ass looks lumpy, you need to do something with that. Like, ugh.
Girl, you don't have curves, you've got, like, layers. Sausages. Or levels. And I don't mean a shelf. Like, I don't mean like a Kim Kardashian, you know, with a champagne bottle shelf. I mean, literally, you know. No, I thought that, I agree with you. I thought that was a very interesting revelation that Dax was like, oh, none of these bitches come and say something to me, blah, blah, blah. And then they throw in Thorgy's confessional moment where she says to camera, basically, I did say something to her.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, I think the truth lies in the middle. Thorgy might have been the only person that said something to her, and it was possibly too subtle for Dax to pick up on. Like, you know, because Thorgy isn't Acid Betty. Thorgy didn't walk up to her and say, girl,
your ass looks fat.
Right. Like you need to trim that, like, or, you know, or reshape your pad or something. You know, you just don't. Okay, so here's your lesson, everybody. If you're going to do padding, do not take it out of your couch and just stick it on your ass. You actually have to kind of, you know, cut that shit.
Yeah.
In fact, it's been on, like, I've seen it. If it hasn't been on Drag Race, it was on something else. It was on All Stars. I don't know. There was a makeover of some sort, and they literally took couch cushions, and we're talking about the fact that you shape them like Africa, and you take an electric knife.
Yeah.
And just
yeah,
I remember seeing it, so it's not a.
I think it was Jujubee on one of the I think it was Drag U.
Oh yeah, probably.
I remember that because I forget what she said. It's Africa or someplace else. I can't remember the other one. Sure. Anyway,
you want your hips to look like the shape of the continent of Africa. So yeah, which I thought was kind of interesting. I'd never known that before because. I don't know. I guess I don't pay attention to that. But
So
I agree with you that it really is a competition, and you can either help or hinder the person depending on what it is.
So on the flip side of that, we had Bob the Drag Queen and Layla. Like during the Untucked episode, right before they get back on stage, Bob literally grabs Layla and goes, you know, here's something you can do, da 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 da. So, you know, you're wearing a rat dress. I'm wearing a rat dress. This is what you do. You grab this end, so you kind of do this, and you turn it, and you twist, and it's like, it was this very cute sort of, not really maternal moment, but just this very cute moment of them doing something fun, teaching someone a little trick that maybe they didn't know. And I mean, she did it. I remember her doing it in the, maybe I don't want to say that yet.
She did it in Untucked right then and there. Bob showed her how to do it, and I agree with you, it wasn't maybe maternal but more sisterly, like, hey, here's a tip, here's a hint, you know, if you know you want to really make an impression with your outfit and you've got a wrap dress, here's one way to really kind of flare it out. And you know, and she spun and she did it back there at Untucked, and she spun it out, and I admit the dress looked amazing when you did that. I was like, wow, that dress looks so much better when you do that shit than just wearing it.
Yes.
But, you know, I mean, so I agree that, you know, I thought that was nice of Bob to, you know, kind of do that. I think But I think that, you know, Bob reminds me a lot of Bianca, and I hate saying that, and I know they're both from New York City, blah, blah, blah. But he really seems kind of like catty and witty and very funny. I don't know, and he does consider himself a comedic drag queen, so we'll see how that goes. But I found it interesting that Bob was like, hey, here's something that I think you don't know, and it's like, and this costs us nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I thought that was interesting.
One little tip to just, you know, help someone out. Help a sister out, like you said.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I agree. You ready for takeaways?
Sure.
All right. So our next segment, this is about what made an impression on us. I said song and dance. This episode, that's what it was all about. It was, can you sing and can you dance? Now, it's not real singing like in a recording studio. That comes usually at the end. But it's about, you know, it's a dog and pony show. It is drag. And what bothers me is we get contestants every season, and I think we got them again this season, who are questioned on whether or not they ever lip sync or what their lip sync skills are. Mm-hmm. And I find that really interesting because if you were like a Denise Russell, so for those that don't know, on the East Coast and sort of towards the Midwest, there's a drag queen, Denise Russell, that's been doing this stuff for, well, please forgive Denise, decades. And she's been traveling and doing stuff, and she's known as Denise the Voice Russell, and she sings. I mean, that's her thing. So if you're her and you're in this competition and that's all you ever do is your own original stuff and you don't ever really lip sync, that's one thing. But outside of that realm, drag is predominantly art and you are performing it. And as much as I know of the vast majority of it, unless it's more kind of like our very artistic or avant-garde, you are lip syncing to a song. So it's confusing to me that we get these contestants and I'm like, please don't tell me that we got more S&M bitches, because I don't have time for that. In my world, S&M stands for stand and model. So when you go to an S&M bar, I don't mean leather bar girl. I mean, you go in and everybody just stands around and looks real pretty. And it's like, no. And that's what I feel like sometimes these queens are, that they come on and then it's like, and they don't know how to lip sync. Or it's like, and I'm kind of like, you know, so here's the one thing that we'll kind of talk about now. Kimchi, we talked about it in episode one, and it came way back to the front again in episode two. Girl has got body movement stuff
going on.
She admits that she was a big boy and that she was very shy, and she never really got out there and expressed her body and movement. So she struggles with how to be graceful and how to be – I don't know if I want to say graceful, because I think she can pull off – being graceful, but it's a very slow, kind of thoughtful way to do it. And she's getting chastised by Michelle specifically on that. You know, Michelle out of all the judges is the nitpicker. Michelle's the one that's like, you know, she got on Thorgy about her black eyes. You know, and she, you know, got on Kimchi again about her walk on the runway. And I thought that was interesting that, you know, Rue kind of like had a moment with her and was like, you know, how do you say don't fuck it up or whatever in, you know, Korean. Like, how do you own your essence? Like, where is your fire in this moment? Because when you walk the runway, you should, you know, you should be demanding that we pay attention to you, not be so coy and demure. And I think that's a struggle for Kimchi, because by personality, she's very internal and very she's done it two or three times already in confessional to camera. She's very dismissive about her importance and her, you know, being of consequence or any, or I mean, it's just, it's really kind of so impacting to me. And I'm trying not to sound like an ass about this, but it's so cultural to me, the way she presents herself, that, you know, that she's to be seen, but not necessarily heard, or, you know, that she, you know, defers to others or whatever. And I'm kind of like, wow, like I was just really not expecting that out of you. So I think Michelle's right to be kind of nitpicking and being like, you know, you are gorgeous. However, you cannot just be pretty. Like, as she said for several seasons on end now, stop relying on that body.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm afraid she's going to twist that on Kimchi and say, stop relying on that face. Like, stop relying on that look, because there's so much more to you than just this thing that you present on the runway in this one moment.
Yeah. It was very nice. Yeah.
So for me, the point of song and dance is like, now that you're on the show, like we talked about it last week, you got to know how to sew. And now it's becoming evident you have to know how to sing and you have to know how to dance. Now, you may not have to know how to sing, like really sing, but you should know how to fucking lip sync like you're singing.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah. Yeah. I will. I think one of the things I remember from the episode before I do it in my takeaways was the fact that Kimchi and Dax and Acebetti even mentioned like they were fat kids and, you know, nerds and whatnot, you know, growing up, and how, you know, even now they kind of sometimes struggle with it. I know Kimchi is definitely still struggling with it. She mentioned that she's still a virgin, which seems kind of odd when you think about it, but at the same time, you know, I looked it up, she's 27, you know, on the show. So I don't know. She mentions she lived in Korea for some time. She didn't know the movie Pitch Perfect because she believes that she was in Korea. I don't know. I don't know.
Well, Rue called her out on it. And I thought it was quite comical. And luckily, it came across as very funny as opposed to a very embarrassing when she says to Kimchi, you know, have you heard of, you know, Pitch Perfect? And she said, no, I'm afraid I might have been in Korea when that came out. And Rue was like, it came out like 6 months ago. Yeah. And then, you know, and Kimchi was like, oh, shit. Like, you know, like I just got owned by Rue. Like,
yeah.
Like, you know, and but it didn't come across like in the past when they've had those flubs. I think a contestant is kind of like, oh, well, you know, and they try to play it all off. Like, I don't want to say, but, you know, like water off a duck's back or whatever you want to call it. Instead, Kimchi was like, well, shit. I got owned, you know, that I'm not familiar with this and I don't know it at all or whatever. And
yeah.
And that's another aspect of the show that bothers me is, you go on the show, do your homework. And I'm not critiquing Kimchi, but I'm like, it's very difficult for you to be competitive if you're not familiar with pop culture.
Yeah.
And we've talked about it in previous, you know, last season, you know, about the drag history and stuff like that. And, you know, famous movies and quote lines and John Waters. I mean, it's like, so I was not surprised that we're picking pop culture again to make, you know, fun or to make entertainment out of. But then you're kind of falling on your own face when you don't know what the hell it is that you're referring to.
Yeah. So I just, we'll see. We'll see. So for me, one of my takeaways from this episode is actually two things. No comparison and don't play to the background. You know, I mentioned earlier, this is a competition. You know, you should always kind of have that in the forefront of your mind whenever you're doing anything in this show, during this show. You know, this is a competition. The mini challenge usually in some way affects the maxi challenge. We know this. So do really well in the mini challenge and you'll do really well in the maxi challenge, because sometimes those mini challenges give you incentives or could potentially hurt or, you know, hinder you depending on what, you know, going on. Put yourself out there no matter what, you know. If you don't like something, do something about it, you know, in some way. And this is like, once again, I'm talking to Layla again about this. And it's one of those things where I was like, I almost got kicked off the show last week or yesterday or whenever. And here I am, here we are in another thing, in another challenge. What can I do to step it up? So, right. You know, I when she was given the character of someone else's little sister, she took issue with it. Understandably so. You're Derek Barry's little sister. Yeah, that wouldn't fly with me if I just lost a challenge, you know, almost got kicked out of the show last week. And this is a team challenge. I need to be something, you know, bigger than this or whatever. Granted, overall, I didn't see little sister I saw all the same character for the most part, with the exception of maybe one or two, but that's just me. It's just one of those things where you need to get out there. Don't be in the background and don't shy away, because if you do, it's noticed, but not in a positive way.
I agree with you, Damon. I think you're spot on about that. My response would have been to find out if I was going to be Derek's younger sister. I would have saddled right up next to Derek and been like, all right, let's keep this up. Let me learn from you how you do you, so I can help emulate that. And I probably would have gone so far as to say, would you be willing to do my makeup? Would you be willing to touch me up or make me look more like you? So when we're on stage, we're not twins, but we look like we're siblings. You know what I mean? So we can not only visually carry it through, but then what's your personality? Let me analyze your body movements and how you do stuff. So when we're performing this number, it carries across a lot better as opposed to awkward or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. No, I agree with you. The falling to the back is not good, but that's what happens in the beginning of the season. You know, people don't rise. They don't shine. So then they get eliminated.
Yep. Yet.
That's true. Are you ready for our next segment?
Sure, sure, sure.
All right. So it's time to grab your cocktails, kids.
Let me get closer. There we go.
As customary in our...
customary.
What do we want to say it? In honor of Mrs. Kasha Davis.
Yes.
There's always time for a cocktail. And at this time in the show, we talk about our snaps and our eye rolls. In other words, our hits and misses. So for me, my snaps, they go to Kim Chi for her honesty. She was so real, I think, in this episode where she talked about being fat, being 350 pounds and having lost a whole bunch of weight, 3 years previous to the show, about being a virgin, and was the first queen that we've seen that went to the shade tree, to the room, and did a different kind of confessional one-on-one to the camera. And I find it interesting. It took us 8 seasons to get to this thing that I think is in Big Brother and some other reality contestant type shows. I was surprised that they did it, but it makes more sense because basically they're giving the contestants a way out to get their feelings out there, if they're struggling with something. So I appreciated that Kim Chi took that opportunity and did that. So that was the thing that stood out to me the best out of the whole show. I don't want to say it was a crappy show. It was just nothing really was striking me except for that authenticity. So that was my snaps. And then my eye rolls. Well, all right, hang on. Why don't you do your snaps and then I'll go for my eye roll and you can go for your eye roll.
Okay. All right. So my snaps are for Cynthia Lee's Fontaine leadership in the team challenge, the maxi challenge. Everyone complimented her. And I feel that that's the best way to run a team. You know, she asked for input, but, offered her own. She was very critical, but not bitchy. Everyone seemed to like her style. And that's one of the ways I feel like you do really well in a team challenge. Is you're not, no offense to Chi-Chi, but you're kind of cutting people off and not really listening. And, yes, maybe you had some ideas, but you weren't really kind of listening to everybody. Yes, you had Acid Betty, granted, but there's a difference between cutting someone completely off and listening to them and maybe not taking what they're saying, into effect. You can do that and be nice. You can be a little shady when you're the team leader, that's okay. Okay, I get what you're saying. All right. Well, why don't we do this? And it's totally not what you just said, but I'm going to do it anyway, because guess what? leader, crown it, you know. I loved that she was very much seemed to be open, and I agree with, like, Bob kind of said, like, I don't understand half the things she's saying sometimes, but, you know, she still was very nice and very sweet, and everyone kind of complimented her on that. And, you know, that was very good to see and hear in the course of the show. So, yeah. So, snaps to her in that moment. You know, we'll see where it goes from there. All right.
Yeah.
Are we ready for eye rolls? Are we ready for eye rolls, girl?
Well, let's say this. I'm opening up the document from Wikipedia as a reference point because for this episode, Thorgy Thor and Acid Betty were both considered high. Chi-Chi Devane was overall the winner.
Yes.
So I wanted to kind of mention that because then I want to talk about who the bottom three are. So those are our top three. Now we have our bottom three, which happen to be Kim Chi, Dax, and Layla.
Yep.
So Kim Chi survives, is not in the bottom two, does not have to lip sync.
Yep.
I understand it. I'm not completely in agreement with it. I found it surprising that Jamal? He said, I don't care how you dance. I think you look absolutely gorgeous on the runway. So I thought that was a bit of a zinger about, like, yeah. Granted, the whole point of half of the whole point of the main challenge was dancing.
Yeah.
Screw the dancing because you're beautiful. So I don't think he was giving her a pass, but I thought it was interesting that he was kind of like, I see where your assets lie. Like, I see where your strengths are.
Yeah. Yes. I think I agreed with, I think Michelle kind of said to Kim Chi where, yeah, you're not the greatest dancer. We can tell, but she played it up. She played up the comedy side. She played up that part of it. And I like that the team made that kind of thing. Cause see, honestly, out of the girls, the lady bitches team, she's the one I remember. Like her nerdy, awkward, terrible dancing, you know, kind of character. It worked. Cause I remember it.
Right.
I don't really remember everybody else.
I think they were being a little harsh on her not being able to dance because Michelle did recognize at least you picked a character that it made sense.
Yeah.
That you weren't able to dance. Like you played it out that you're, you know, this geeky, awkward girl. So that's why you're not that perfect at dancing.
Yeah.
So my thought was, well, then don't be beating her up for it. Like she played to her strength of her weakness, if that's the idea. So yeah, I don't know. I found that interesting. I mean, you know, and I have grave concerns about Kim Chi's lasting. I would like to see her go pretty far. I think that she has some amazing visual talent, but I'm thinking the other stuff is probably going to do her in before.
Yeah.
We get to the end.
One of the things we've learned through seasons past is certain aspects of your personality, character, whatnot only goes so far. If you like, if you're a comedy queen, you can only be funny for so long. If you're a glamorous girl, or, you know, you can only go so far. If you're all about that body, you can only go so far.
Right.
You know, it's mixtures and pieces of that put together generally make a queen last longer.
No, and I agree with you. Like, I mean, I'm looking at the list real fast, and it's like Cynthia can only be so funny. You know, Robbie can only be so classic. Derek can only be, you know, kind of her thing. You know, I mean, they all got this little stuff that's going on. Naomi, you can only rely on them legs and that ass for so long, girl. And then, like,
amen to that shit.
I mean, no, don't get me wrong.
Having bitch, come on.
She's pretty. She's beautiful, but that's gonna in about two episodes. It's gonna fall off a cliff, I think, if she doesn't, you know, come out of a box or whatever. So I think Kim Chi has the potential to really kind of rise and shine. She might be kind of like a Jinx. She might be like an Adora Delano. She might be, you know, these past queens who, you know, crack open their shell or whatever. Something happens. There's a revelation. There's a whatever. And they realize I'm in a safe environment so I can be more of my authentic self and it's going to be okay. And yeah. People aren't going to beat up on me. I don't know. So yeah. So eye rolls.
Mm-hmm. Girls.
I thought it was very interesting that the way they edited the show, they include what normally isn't seen.
Which was?
There were camera angles that are not the standard camera angles of the judges right before the lip sync.
Mm.
And it's Lucian, Rue, and Michelle. And they're in the center, and they're talking about the lip sync song. And this is a conversation that happens off camera. In other words, we don't.
Oh, yeah.
We've never seen this conversation. It's another pulling back the curtain moment where you realize, yes, it is really a production and there's downtime and there's, you know, preparation and change the lighting, set the thing, you know, move the camera, whatever it is. And that's one of those moments and that's what happens. And so, you know, Lucian, I think, says it's a great song. And Rue says, I totally agree. You know, it's one of probably, you know, I don't think these are the words, but you get the impression it's like one of the best or one of the better songs. Yeah. And Michelle says to Rue, are you ready? And the way she says it, I took it as, are you ready for a lip sync challenge? Like, are you ready for them to throw it down to one of the all-time classic songs ever?
Yeah.
And so they, you know, they say that they're ready and then they go to the lip sync. All right. Song. And so what I wrote was my eye rolls, worst lip sync ever.
Mm. Another question mark.
Another question mark. Because I'm not sure. Because right now, right out of 8 seasons, this is the one that I hate the most.
I
don't know what else to say. I mean, and you know, in the beginning of Untucked, I was shocked because there was a discussion. Bob says to Layla, I think, or to Dax, about, you know, practicing. Learning the lyrics, you know, or do you already know them? Like, they're like, I thought that was an interesting kind of point they landed in the show.
Yes.
And she's like, I got it, blah, blah, blah. She's like, I'm going to finish my drink and then I'll go over and I'll, you know, work on it or whatever. And it was kind of dismissive, but then she does. So, you know, both of them, they show them, they've got their earbuds in, their little, you know, MP3 players in there. It doesn't look like it mattered.
Yeah. Like, oh God. Okay. So. Girl, sorry. I don't have one thing to say. I have so many fucking things to say about this particular lip sync. It was okay.
Well, not to cut you off, just so everyone's aware, if you haven't watched the show, the song is one of like the quintessential drag queen songs ever. I mean, I don't know how much more to say about that. It is a disco favorite. It is I Will Survive by Gloria Gaynor. It is a diva anthem song. It is a song that every drag queen in the world, I imagine, has practiced or performed or dreamed of something. And that did not come across on the stage. So,
yeah. It was.
What is your laundry list of things to say?
Oh, good girl. Good God. Okay. So, my biggest eye roll, and I'll go ahead and start with that, is never take it off. There are caveats, but this particular song, this power anthem about, you know, fuck that man that broke my heart or did that shit. And, you know, fuck you. I'm moving on. I'm surviving. You know, yes. Like this, you need to be strong and powerful. And like, you need to grab my face and be like, I will survive, bitch. Like that's what I wanted. And when you start stripping, and things start coming off. Now, with Dax, it was like mostly like the yellow fabric in her dress that kind of, you know, I don't even know why that was there. Probably make it look a little bit more like a gown, whatever. But Layla, honey, girl, boo-boo, child, no, we do not completely lose our dress. We do not lose our shoes. I saw the shoes come off and I was like, okay, what's going on there? What are you doing? All right. Like, if you did like a backflip or some bullshit and I've been like, okay, now, okay, got it. No, but when you remove that gown and it reveals basically your shape, done. I've lost the illusion, it's shattered. You're now a boy in a wig and some, you know, stuff on. My illusion is shattered. You're no longer convincing to me. You're no longer a queen to me. You know, there are reasons to strip. You know, some songs could depend on, there's a wonderful song that I've heard queens do called What Makes a Man a Man. And I know a queen who comes on out on stage and it's like the backstage, you know, kind of thing. And she is all dressed up and then she takes everything off and she removes her makeup and she puts on her boy clothes and she comes out and she finishes the song. Powerful. That makes sense to me. Never lose clothes. No. And then two, we know this song. Like you were saying, every queen in the world knows this song, has dreamed of doing this song potentially. You know, some people don't want to touch it. I personally, I would do it if I was asked to, but unless there's a specific reason to do it, like a time, like a disco kind of challenge or disco competition or show I'm doing, I would never do this song because it has so much history and power behind it that to even 3/4 asset, you know, is to do an injustice. If you're going to do this song, you need to do it. And they didn't. I don't feel that they really got this song. And I don't want to blame it on age. I don't want to blame it on, you know, experience. I just think they didn't get it. And it showed in their performance.
I agree with you, Damon. I was flabbergasted watching them, and then they keep showing the camera angles of Michelle's face, of RuPaul's face. I was like, oh, no.
Like, normally...
Titanic is sinking, girls, very fast. Yeah.
Like, normally you'll see, like, their eyes, like, kind of darting back and forth, like watching one girl and watching the other kind of thing. I don't recall seeing that. I don't recall them like really paying attention to one girl or the other or anything like that. It kind of very much looked like, and the other thing, I don't know, and maybe correct me if I'm wrong, because I didn't see the episode twice. There wasn't any of the other queens kind of commentary either, was there?
No.
Yeah.
That was totally missing. Now, it could have been due to timing because, again, this episode was predominantly on the big lip sync dance challenge. But yeah, there was no confessionals that were cut in talking about the performance.
Yeah.
Not Thorgy, not Cynthia Lee Fontaine, and not Bob, the three predominant talkers.
Yeah.
None of them, not a single one of the nine that were safe or had won, none of them said anything about the performance the two of them were putting out there. And I was just like,
as far as we saw. Yeah, because I was sitting there looking at that, and that was the thing that really kind of got me about this. Like, something's about to happen. And we knew, based on the preview, that something big was going to happen. Everyone, you know, we already knew something was going to happen. To me, overall, it was just that like, you never take things off. Like, you know, if something falls off, little different. Granted, that's kind of bad too, but like, never remove. No,
I agree with you. I think in context, it needs to make sense. So, like, yeah, you know, the running thing, you know, with Rue is drag is not a contact sport.
Yeah.
Mimi, I'm First taught us that.
Yep.
You know, Roxy Andrews broke the rule that you never take your hair off unless you got hair underneath.
Yeah.
you can take a wig off, but then you got to have another wig ready to go underneath, you know.
Unless there's another wig underneath. Yeah.
In this case, if you're doing a song that it makes sense to strip out of your clothes because there's a metamorphosis in the song, or, you know, like the song is sultry and sexy, then yeah, like I could totally see going that, but it was like a train wreck. And I was just so
to flip it, as it were. If you remember the episode, when Raja and Carmen were in the bottom, and they started taking clothes off. Granted, Carmen was a lot about her body as well, but it just that in that moment, it became this very oddly sensual, sexy kind of thing, and they were very much like all up on each other. That worked.
Well, like, yeah, because the judges were all like, oh shit. Like, yeah, like this is yeah, some softcore porn going on stage right yes, now. I mean, like they went at each other, and I mean, and not in a cut a bitch kind of way. It was, you know, yeah, they got it into the song and the performance and that. And these two, I don't know. I was so
that was the other thing. There was a lot of like cutting in front of each other and trying to take the spotlight, you know. I saw that especially in the beginning when they were doing it, and it was kind of like, that's another one. Like, don't, you know, if you're going to shine on your own, and don't try to block the other person. Like, you can do it on your own, bitch. Like, don't be like, I'm going to jump in front of you and kind of cut in front of you, and yes, if someone does it first, maybe you should do it back, but like, no, I like, just shine. You can shine. If you can't shine on your own doing I Will Survive by Gloria Gaynor, you probably can't shine in a lot of different ways as well. And
I was mortified.
Yeah.
For the art of drag, I was mortified.
It was not
to the caliber that I would expect out of a season 8 competition of drag art. I would expect to see that from baby drag, from mm-hmm, people who are just starting and don't know how to channel their energy. And mm-hmm, but yeah, I was just,
yeah,
I was so bothered by it the longer it went, and we kept watching it, and I was like, because then I was like, I have no idea what's going to happen. Like, uh-huh, I'm at a loss.
Yeah.
So yeah, I in the history of 8 seasons, I'm willing to say it might very well be the worst lip sync ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
So.
Yep.
And that's not good. I mean, some of them are memorable in weird ways, but this one is memorable for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, this is memorable for being just not good. And I think we've come to the conclusion of the lip sync, so we know what happened.
So in record making history, according to Cynthia Lee Fontaine, for the second time ever in 8 seasons.
Yep.
Double elimination.
Yeah. And let's not count. We don't count All Stars, because if you remember All Stars, they were in teams, and teams got cut off.
Right.
This is totally different. This was a double elimination based on terrible, terrible performances.
I was not shocked, but I was in awe when Rue said, neither of you saved your lives.
Neither of you survived this lip sync.
I was just like, oh, she ain't playing around.
Mm-mm.
And you
I think Jim audibly gasped.
Yeah, you could see from their faces. Dax was flabbergasted, and Layla didn't know what to do. Like, it was just, you know, kind of like deer in headlights. And then they did the reaction shot to the queens in the back. And, I mean, Thorgy, all of them were just beside themselves. They were like, shut the front door. Seriously, that just happened? Like, right in front of us.
Yep.
So my closing thoughts was 2 for 1. Now what? Because we were already talking last week. David, you were like, there's only 12 queens. I prefer 13 or 14. We only got 12. And I said, well, you don't know what's going to happen. And sure enough, and then we got rid of 2 in 1 week. And I'm like, okay. They do the little prop thing. I say prop because I don't know how authentic it was. Rue asks for Michelle's cell phone. She dials somebody up and then says into the cell phone, she just eliminated 2 queens. How quickly can you get here? And then, of course, they cut into Bob saying somebody's coming back. And I'm like, who's coming back? Only one person has been eliminated from this season. I was just like, girl, wait a minute.
I know.
Like, I'm like, you could bring Naysha back, I guess. She's the only one because you just made those two leave. So those two are not optional to
return. Those two bitches ain't coming back because they just left. She ain't gonna be like, oops, sorry. I need one of you to come back. Sorry, that was my bad. No, I need one of you bitches to come back here. Come back. Come back. You know. No. She's not gonna do that. No. That ending though. That was my thing. Like, maybe the call was, staged or whatever, but it leaves you in suspense. Like, I really want to know what's going to happen. Jim and I were talking, and I was telling him, it's going to be one of two things. Either there's a queen or queens in the that didn't quite make the show that maybe made an impression, and we're going to, she's going to be like, I'm going to bring one of these girls that I, liked but didn't quite like enough, like an honorary mention. So here you go, back on the show. Or maybe bring someone back from a previous season. I don't know.
There is speculation, which I think is exaggerated and so silly, that they're going to bring Shangela back.
Oh, God, girl.
Right. And so, like, I'm like, we've already played that out. She's been on 3 times. She was on once. She got eliminated. She was brought back. She was eliminated. And then she was brought back a 3rd time and RuPaul was sent her packing.
Yeah.
Like, she didn't get eliminated. She didn't get out of the box.
Yeah.
So that joke's dead. I really don't think it's going to be Shangela. I agree with you. I'm leaning towards in the wings. We've got a small pool of queens that are the alternates.
Yeah.
I mean, we've already had the season with 2 separate teams of queens starting the season, 7 and 7 or 8 and 8, whatever the hell it was. I totally see that. I had to laugh because I should have sent you the picture. There's a meme on Facebook and it's Rue holding the phone and it says the caption, I just eliminated 2 queens. How soon can you get here? And then the next picture is Bianca Del Rio at a cocktail party on her cell phone. And in huge bold letters, it says, not today, Satan. I don't know if that would be the case, but I could see bringing back a former winner or someone who went really far, but not as a contestant. I see them being brought back as a consultant.
Huh.
As someone who gets planted in there and becomes a second set of eyes and ears, or or kind of as a guidance counselor or something, to the girls to say, I have been here before, I have been through this, and I am not being given a second chance, but I'm telling you right now, y'all need to make sure that your head is in the game, that you're on point, that that you're doing whatever. And like kind of as a way to curb,
like a drag queen boot camp kind of thing.
Right. And to curb the freak out.
Yeah.
Because I can't see them all staying very calm about the fact that 2 girls got eliminated at the exact same time.
Yep. It happened, oh gosh, was it season 5 or 6? I can't remember, but it was I knew who it was. It's Honey Mahogany and Vivian Panette. And I remembered her lip sync not being amazing, and that's part of why they both went. But yeah, it's like I said, that ending though, that's sort of my kind of closing thought about it. It's good TV. I'm definitely anticipating and waiting. Can't wait for the next episode because I want to see what happens. I want to know what happens. And I looked at the preview like 2 or 3 times. I actually rewound that and because I'm like, sometimes you can get a little hint about who it is, but they don't. I didn't see anything, so it's kind of like, damn it. But I want to know. I really do want to know what's going to happen. So I will definitely be watching. So kudos to Rue for the suspense, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Who's going on? Who's going to happen? Like, I'm very much looking forward to seeing what she meant and what that meant and what that means for the show. Maybe they bring in 2. I mean, granted, she only says 1 person, but who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, we'll see. I'm not gonna try to predict with a crystal ball what the hell's gonna happen in the next episode.
No,
but
yeah,
that's it. That's our take on episode 2, Bitch Perfect, from season 8 of RuPaul's Drag Race. There are plenty of ways for you to get in contact with us if you want to tell us your thoughts about this episode or this season. You can go to cubsoutloud.com, obviously, visit the website. You can submit things through there. You can send us an email, simply cubsoutloud@gmail.com. And I didn't mention it last time, but we do have a phone number. You can call and leave us a voicemail message. We'll play it on the show. You can call us at 361-COL-TALK. That's 361-265-8255. And tell us what you think's going on. Leave a voice message, make a memo recording, send it to us by email, whatever. It works. We also can be found on Facebook at facebook.com/cubsoutloud. Tumblr is cubsoutloud.tumblr.com. Twitter.com/cubsoutloud if you want to tweet with us. And on Google+, which is where we're doing this via Hangouts, you can find us at google.com/+cubsoutloud. And of course, Bear Underground is the official Bear website of Cubs Out Loud. You can join the COL Entourage group. You can say hello, leave us a message, other than just look at the postings about the shows and the pretty pictures that get posted. And of course, you can also rate us on iTunes and on Stitcher Radio. You can give us a thumbs up over there. We'd appreciate it. As always, my name's Gary. I go by GearBear73. You can find me on Tumblr, Bear Underground, Growler, and other apps and websites and that kind of stuff.
And this is Damon. You can find me as either TheaterCub79, NomadCovet79, or Pup_Umbra. Very briefly, get anywhere, practically anywhere, although not everywhere.
And that said, it's time to say goodbye as we exit to RuPaul's new hit off of her latest album. The song is You Wear It Well. You wear it, you wear it, you wear it well. Wig shop, non-stop, hair salon. You wear it well, you brand new. Ooh, 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 ooh. Work it for me, work it for me, me. You wear it, you wear it, you wear it well. Well, 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 well. You wear it well. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
And we are live.
Ooh, yay. You gonna start that music?
Yep, let's get the show started.
Let's get it going. Get it going, good.